1 Samuel chapter 17, the Bible says in verse number 45, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." And so the title of the message this evening, and we'll kind of look at throughout this chapter different points for the message, but the title of the message is Victory Over the Giant or the Giants of Sin. And so Victory Over the Giants of Sin. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the privilege to be at church once again tonight, Lord. And I pray that you would keep our pastor safe while he's away, and my family, Lord, and the Moores as they're gone. And I pray you bring them all back safely, Lord. And thank you for getting Sarah through these 2 years of school. And I pray that you would bless her future. And I pray that, that Lord, that you would bless this time now tonight as we listen to your word. I pray that you would help me to preach what needs to be preached, say what needs to be said, calm my nerves, Lord, and help me to have clarity of thought and of mind. And I pray I wouldn't say things that does not need to be said, but also pray I wouldn't refrain from saying things that do need to be said. I just pray that you'd use me tonight and help us to take something home that we can chew on and consider, and that will help us become a better Christian, Lord. And bless Brother Booth as he is here with us Wednesday night. Use him as he preaches and give us what we need. And bless the week and bring us back safely next Sunday, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And so we all probably have, I'm sure all of us in here have heard, especially on a Sunday night, we've all heard the story of when David fought Goliath. It's one of those classic Sunday school lessons that we're going to hear. I mean, you don't have to be in Sunday school very long before you hear of David and Goliath. That's a very familiar story that we hear in the Bible. And the Philistines, we know, gathered themselves together to battle the Israelites. They wanted to fight God's special chosen people. Now, certainly, that was definitely a foolish thing for them to do, to want to go against God's chosen people. The Israelites didn't hesitate to join the fight. They prepare for the battle and array themselves on one side of a mountain. The Philistines face them on another side of another mountain. There's a valley in between them, so you have the two armies, and they were ready to fight. A battle would be won, and they were ready. Their blood was going to be shed, but who was going to be victorious? And the children of Israel probably had confidence that God would give them the victory. And some of them may have seen God do it before, or perhaps they've heard stories of how God delivered the children of Israel as they wandered through the wilderness, and God destroyed a lot of the Israel's enemies. And I'm sure they had great confidence, but that confidence quickly vanished when they were introduced to Goliath, the Philistines' champion. And Goliath, we all know, he was a beast of a man. He was huge. He was standing possibly at about 10 feet tall. And the Bible gives the measurements in cubits. And cubit is, you know, from the tip of your finger to the tip of your elbow. So it can differ depending on how, you know, if you're a freakishly huge guy or something like that, then your cubit could be longer. Or if you're a really small dude, then your cubit could be shorter. But an average cubit, I guess, would be about what mine is. I would say I'm average size. And so based on that, based on my cubit size, he would have been about 10 feet tall. And just imagine a person that's 10 feet tall, and you're supposed to go fight this guy. Because Goliath came and he dares the children of Israel, and he says, "Hey, I want you to send one of your men, just one, and he's going to fight me. And what's going to happen is if I win, then you children of Israel, you are going to have to serve us. But if y'all win, then we'll serve you." And that was the challenge. That was the dare that Goliath gave. And all that confidence that Israel had at first when they were preparing themselves for the battle, and when they showed up on that side of the mountain ready to fight, was gone, and they were scared. And Goliath, for 40 days, presented himself, saying, "Hey, if send one guy to fight me, and if he can win, then we'll serve you. But if I win and I prevail, then y'all have to serve us." And certainly the Jews, they didn't want to just send anybody to fight this Goliath, because if they lost, then they'd be in trouble. They would have to serve the Philistines, and they didn't want that. So they didn't know what to do. No one was courageous enough to fight this giant. Somehow, no one trusted God to deliver Goliath into their hands. And I guess they thought that Goliath was just too big for God to handle. God could handle all these other armies and all these other nations and people that God destroyed. God can handle that, but God can't handle one giant. I guess is what they were thinking. They were afraid. They didn't trust God. Goliath made his dramatic appearance and sounded his heart-wrenching dare for 40 days. And for 40 days, Israel stood having lost all courage to fight. And it seemed that Israel was going to lose this battle until David showed up. He came, you know, how his father sent him. His brothers were in the battle, and David was too young to be in the Israeli army. So he sends him to the battle, says, "Hey, go bring your brother some food." And man, that's a good reason to send your brother, to bring some food. That's great. So he sends him some food, and he comes, and as he's there giving his brothers food and checking on him, seeing how things are going, David is introduced to Goliath. Goliath comes again, presents himself, gives his dare, and David listens to what he has to say. And David was surprised to see that no one was willing to go fight this giant. He was surprised to see that no one was brave enough to do it. And we know that verse how David talks about, "Hey, is there not a cause?" And David was like, "Hey, someone's got to go fight this Goliath. This giant." And so David, we know, look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. So David, although he's young, although he's not that age yet of being even able to fight in the army, he's young, but he volunteered himself to fight this giant with the help of God. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 32. "And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" And David said, "Hey, I'll go fight. I'll volunteer myself to fight." And Saul thought David was absolutely nuts. But David persisted, and he said, "Hey, no, Saul, I'll go fight this giant." And Saul permitted him to fight. And just think about how risky that must have been for Saul to say, "Okay, fine, I'll let you go fight this Goliath." Because Saul's probably thinking, "Man, this David's done. He's dead." And so at that point, Saul's probably thinking, "You know, we're going to have to serve the Philistines. We're going to have to, something mighty's going to have to happen for us to be able to overtake the Philistines." And because David, there's no way David's going to be able to defeat this giant. And but let's look and read what happens. Let's read in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's look, we won't read all of it, but let's look at verse 45. This is our text verse in verse 45. "Then said David," so David's already, presented himself in front of the giant, and he said, "Hey, I'm going to fight you." In verse 45, "Then said David to the Philistine, 'Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air." Man, David was not scared at all. I mean, he's saying, "Hey, this day God's going to deliver you to me, and I'm going to take your head. I'm going to cut it off. I'm going to deliver your dead carcass, your dead body, and let the birds of the air devour you." I mean, David was not scared. He had full confidence that God would deliver this giant to the Jews' hands. In verse 47, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted." And so he wasn't scared. He's running and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took, I could imagine David's right now, his heart's probably pumping. It's probably why he's still running, even though David's, the Goliath is dead, he's down, but he's still running, grabbing his sword. And he probably has a lot of adrenaline right now. It says, therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath, thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled, which is interesting. I heard a guy, one of the teachers at my school point out, that, you know, how Goliath said, hey, if y'all win, we're going to serve y'all. But if we win, y'all are going to serve us. That's what Goliath said. But the thing is, that's not what they held to, because when they saw that Goliath was dead, they ran away. They were gone. And kind of an interesting point there. The world lies, but David gets the victory, and David had a glorious victory that day over the giant that desired to kill him, and that desired to cause Israel to have to serve serve them. And listen, in our lives, we have many giants we face, and whatever you might consider a giant in your life, some kind of big problem or issue in your life, and giants might be family issues. Giants could be issues with our friends. Giants can be issues that we have in our ministry or issues that we have at our job. The giant in your life could be your health. Health issues that you have. Maybe the giant in your life is your spiritual life, and maybe spiritually you're not doing good, and it's a major problem in your life. But the many giants of life is not. We're not going to talk about the many giants of life tonight. We're going to talk about one giant that all of us struggle with, no matter who you are, and every single one of us struggle with this giant here, and that's the giant of sin. And sin is something we all struggle with. The Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. We think, no, I'm good. I'm not really struggling with sin right now. We're lying to ourselves, and the truth is not in us. All of us struggle with sin, no matter who we are. That is a battle that all of us have. That is a giant, a major problem that all of us have. Sin is a giant that we will always have until we're in heaven. And listen, the Philistines in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 9, look at it. The Philistines wanted to destroy Israel, to destroy this one Jew. That way Israel would serve them. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 9, the Bible says this, if he be able, talking about the giant, if he be able to fight with me, talking about Israel, this is Goliath talking, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines wanted Israel to serve them. And you know what? Listen, our giant of sin wants us to fall in defeat, and it wants us to become a servant to sin. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, and listen to these verses, in verse 12 it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. And God says, hey, don't let sin reign over you. Don't let sin have the victory over you. And don't let sin call all the shots in your life. It says in verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. God says, hey, if we give in to sin and we allow sin to have victory in our lives, then we become a servant to sin. We're serving sin. We're doing what sin wants us to do. And we're living the way our flesh wants us to live, or the way Satan wants us to live. We're giving in to that sin. And sin wants us to serve sin. We must be on high alert, because sin can so easily take us out of the Christian race. We have a race to run. God has a plan for all of us. And if we're not careful, sin will take us out of that race, out of God's will completely. And it'll cause for a miserable life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore seeing we are also so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Listen, the Bible says sin doth so easily beset us. The word beset is to surround or besiege. And sin wants to besiege us and get us to surrender and get us to give in and say, okay, I can't take it anymore. The temptation is too strong. I'm just going to give in. And we can't let that happen. God wants to use us for His honor and for His glory. And He wants to use us to increase His kingdom. But we can't do such if we surrender to sin. Listen, Goliath wanted to kill a Jew. Sin wants to kill a Christian. And the Bible talks about sin when it is finished, bringing forth death. And sin wants to kill us. And sin will come when Satan, our flesh, and or the world attacks us. And listen, when it comes to Satan, when it comes to our flesh, when it comes to the world, sin is the champion that our flesh is going to send to destroy us. Sin is the champion that Satan's going to send to destroy us. And that's what Satan's going to use, is some type of temptation to give in to sin to destroy and wreck our lives. And Satan's going to do it because it says in 1 Peter, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And Satan's out there looking, okay, who can I devour? Who can I, what Christian can I tempt with sin right now? I want to throw out this champion. You know, most of the time, the Christians can't do it. They can't defeat sin. So I'm going to send this temptation out. That way they'll give in to sin. And so I can have the victory over them. And Satan's going to use sin. Our flesh is going to use sin to get us to fall. In Romans 7, it says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Hey, you know what? Our flesh, our members, it's going to tempt us, and we have these sinful desires because our flesh, the Bible says, in our flesh dwelt no good thing. So our flesh is going to want to do wrong. Our flesh is going to want to sin, and our flesh is going to tempt us to do something we know we shouldn't do. It's going to cause us to be brought into captivity to the law of sin. And listen, we can't let that happen. And the world will do the same thing. And God says in James chapter 4, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And listen, if we're friends with the world and we live the way the world wants to live and we go in the same direction that the world goes, and even though we're saved, even though we're born again, we look and live and act and talk just like the world, then the world is attacking us with sin. And if we allow the world to win and we give into that sin, we're going to become the enemy of God. Therefore, whoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Listen, sin is the champion that Satan, the flesh, and the world is going to throw out at us every time. And just like Israel had the champion, had Goliath, and think, oh, there's no way that the children of Israel are going to be able to defeat our champion, and Satan's going to think, oh, man, I can tempt this Christian with this sin right here. There's no way he's going to resist that. He's going to give in. And it shouldn't be that way. And we can have victory. And listen, we must have a determined mind to keep ourselves from falling into sin. And Paul had that determination. Paul knew he was a sinner. And it talks about it in Romans 7, how the things he struggled with sins, the things that he wanted to do, that's what he didn't do. The things that he hated, the sin that he hated and did not want to commit, he says so often, that's what I wound up doing. And he had the struggle, but Paul also had a determination to avoid sin the best he could. He said in 1 Corinthians, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. He says, hey, my body, my flesh, the world, Satan, they don't tell me what to do. I tell my body what to do. I'm going to, based on the word of God, I'm going to say, no flesh, we're not going to live in sin. No flesh, we're not going to give into that temptation. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. And Paul says, hey, I don't want to be cast away. I don't want to fall into the world. I don't want to fall into sin. I want to live for God. So if I'm going to do that faithfully, I'm going to have to on purpose bring my body into subjection. I'm going to have to on purpose fight against sin. And listen, Paul didn't have the determination to fight against sin all on his own. The reason he had such determination is because he knew, he says also in 1 Corinthians, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, we may struggle with sin, but God will give us the victory. We can have victory over our sin through Christ. And God is the one who can keep us from falling into sin. Listen to what it says in Jude 24. It says, now unto him, talking about God, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Hey, you know what? God can keep where we can be presented faultless before the Lord. Not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. But it shouldn't be that we're living a life full of sin and we're not getting right about sin and we're just giving up and we're not fighting against sin. And God is able to keep us from falling into sin. And you know what? The Bible says that if we are presented to God faultless, that in the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. And I know preacher preached on being happy this morning. And listen, if we just live in sin, then that's automatically going to keep us from being happy. And sin brings no joy. It takes away all the joy in our life. Hey, God gave David the victory that day against the giant called Goliath. The 10-foot giant versus a little kid. Maybe a teenager. The thing is that he didn't use a sword. He didn't use a bow and arrow. He didn't, he didn't have any type of major weapon. He had a sling and a rock or a stone, a pebble, whatever. I think the Bible talks about stones. He had that. And that's what God used. That wasn't David having some type of a special ability. It was God that used David to defeat the giant. And listen, God can use us to defeat our giants of sin. We can. We don't have to live in defeat. We all have our besetting sin. We all have a sin that we greatly struggle with, a sin that has a stronghold on us, something that we constantly give into. I have those sins. You have those sins. And listen, God never said, hey, you can live in victory over most sins except for the sins you really struggle with. Sorry. You know, if you really struggle with lusting and that's just something that you really have a hard time with and it just has a stronghold on you, there's not really much you can do. I'm sorry. You just have to wait until one day you die and go to heaven. You won't struggle with it anymore. That's not what God says. God says that we can have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ and we can have victory over the sins which doth so easily beset us. Whatever it is that we struggle with greatly, God says we can have victory. But listen, God gave David the victory because there's a few things that David did or had. And God said, you know what? Because of these things that David is doing or these things that he has, I'm going to give him the victory. I'm going to help him and use him to defeat this giant called Goliath. And so listen, what do we need to do in order to have victory over sin in our life? What do we need to do? What did David do? Well, number one, what should we do? What must we do if we want to have victory over our sin? Number one, we must have faith. We must have faith in God. We can't think that it's just hopeless and that we can never have victory over the sin. We're never going to be able to conquer this sin that we struggle with so much. But we can conquer it, not through our power. If we rely on ourselves, we are going to always struggle with that sin. But you know what? We can rely on God. And that's exactly what David did. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look at it. Let's look how David had faith. We must have faith if we want to have victory over our sin. And that's exactly what David had. He had faith in the Lord that God would give him the victory. Look at it. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look at verse number 36. So David's talking with Saul and David convinces Saul to let him go fight Goliath. So he says, it says in 1 Samuel 17, 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, David didn't just stop there. He wasn't telling Saul that, hey, I slew this lion, I slew this bear, and because I'm so great, because I'm so mighty, I can slay this giant. That's not what David was saying, because he says in verse 37, David said, moreover, he continued, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and out of the paw of the bear, the only reason David was able to slay the lion and the bear is because God delivered him and used him to do so. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. David was saying, hey, I have faith and full confidence in the fact, not in me. I'm nobody. I can't do this, but God can use me to defeat this giant. David trusted God. He had faith. Look at verse 46. He says, this day Will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand? He didn't say, hey, this day am I going to come and defeat you, Goliath. I know I can do it. I'm strong. I'm somebody. You know, I exercise. I lift weights. I do all these things. Goliath, I know I can defeat you. That's not what he said. He said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into thine hand. And David had faith in the fact that, hey, God will deliver me from this giant. And David wasn't doubtful. David wasn't like everyone else in the Israeli army that was like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And hiding from Goliath and being fearful and trembling and thinking, you know, who's going to fight Goliath? Who's going to be brave enough to do it? And even if they are brave enough, who's going to have the ability to fight this giant? And but David was like, hey, I'll fight this giant because I know God will deliver him into my hands. Into my hands. David had that faith. And we must have faith too against the giant of sin, against those besetting sins that we have in our life. We must trust and know that God can give me the victory. It doesn't matter how hard I struggle with the sin. It doesn't matter if maybe my parents struggle with the same sins, and maybe their parents struggle with the same sins, and maybe it's really hard, and maybe it's because of my personality or because of whatever, I struggle with the sin. But listen, I can have victory over the sin through Christ. And God said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That includes victory over sin. But we must trust God. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. Our own understanding may be thinking, man, I struggle with the sin. I constantly go to God and say, Lord, would you forgive me? I messed up again. But then I go right back to it, and I have to go to God again and say, Lord, would you forgive me? I messed up again. But then right after that, I wind up failing again. And so I go to God again and say, Lord, would you forgive me? I messed up again. And we struggle with sin, but if we trust that God will deliver us and give us victory, we can have victory over that sin. We must have faith in God and trust Him to fight our giant of sin in our lives. We cannot have victory without the aid of God. The Bible says in Luke 18, verse 27, and He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Hey, it might be impossible for you or for I to live in victory over some sin that we struggle with, but with God it's not impossible. He can help us. And listen, the Bible says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And have faith that God will help you conquer the sin battles that you have. I must have faith that God will help me conquer the sins that I constantly struggle with. Hey, He will help us conquer the sin of lust, the sin of laziness, the sin of lying. God, if we trust God, He'll help us to conquer the sin of anger or the sin of apathy or the sin of arrogance. God, if we trust the Lord, God can help us conquer the sin of selfishness, the sin of striving with one another, the sin of slandering one another. Hey, if we trust God, He'll help us with the sin of pride. He'll help us with the sin of pouting and feeling sorry for ourselves. He'll help us with the sin of being perverse and having a perverse mind. Hey, He'll help us with the sin of criticizing and complaining and cheating. He'll help us with the sin of uncleanness, unkindness, and unmercifulness. Hey, think about the sin. Right now, think about the sin that you struggle with. And I'll think about the sin I struggle with. And listen, the sins that we struggle with that we have so hard of a time defeating, no matter how hard we try, if we just give it over to God and say, God, would you help me? I know you can give me the victory. Listen, God will give us the victory. God will help us defeat these giants if we believe that He can. And guess what? He can. David had confidence because his faith was in God. And listen, because of this confidence that he had, people accused David of being full of pride, or his brothers did in 1 Samuel 17, if you want to look at it, chapter 17, verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, this Philistine that doesn't even believe in our God, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. And his brother was accusing him because David had the confidence, saying, hey, why are we letting this uncircumcised Philistine defy the armies of the living God? God can give us the victory if we fight and if we trust Him. So why are we letting this happen? And he had that confidence in the Lord, not in himself, but in God. And he was being accused of pride. pride. Hey, listen, if we really trust God, God's going to give us confidence in our sin that we struggle with. The Bible says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge." And so listen, let's let God... let's trust God to give us the victory over whatever sin that we struggle with, whatever sin that we battle with constantly. Let's ask God, "Lord, give me the victory. I know you can help me. I trust that you can give me the victory." How was David able to defeat Goliath? How was he able to defeat that giant? He was just a young kid. How was he able to do it? Well, one, because he had faith. He had faith in God. But also, number two, how was David able to defeat Goliath? What must we do to defeat our sin? Number two, we must be furnished. To be furnished is to equip. We must equip ourselves with the army that God has provided us. Look at 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 38. We know the story how David said, "Okay, I'll go fight Goliath." And Saul said, "Okay, well, here's my armor. You need to wear this because it's not going to look pretty. At least wear this armor and maybe you'll have a chance." And we know how David said, "This isn't going to work. I haven't proved this armor. It doesn't fit me right. It doesn't feel right. This isn't going to work." David didn't take his armor. He didn't take his sword. He wasn't furnished with some fancy armor that the king had, but David was still furnished. And what he did is, remember how he went to the brook, grabbed those stones, grabbed his sling, and was ready to go, because he knew that's all he needed in order for God to give him the victory. He had what he needed. And look at it in 1 Samuel 17, verse 38. "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, 'I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them.' And David put them off him, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistines." So David was ready to go. He had faith that God would deliver him, but he also knew that, okay, God's going to deliver me, but what is God going to use to help me fight this giant and kill him? And so David grabbed those stones. He grabbed that sling. He was ready to go. And you know what? We're in a battle. We're in a war against sin, against our flesh. And God has also given us armor that we can wear and put on. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. He's given us armor. Brother Booth talked about the armor of God when he was here. In Ephesians chapter 6, we have the armor of God that if we wear, if we put on, we will have the ability to defeat our giant of sin with that armor. And we have the ability to defend ourselves from the giant of sin. When sin comes attacking, when it comes tempting us, we have that ability only through the armor of God. Look at it in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Hey, when the devil comes attacking with certain sins and certain temptations in our life, God says, if you put on the armor, you can withstand that. You can stand against that. And you don't have to be so easily defeated by your sins if we just learn to put on the armor of God. Look at verse 13. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." God says, if we really truly want victory over our sin, and we really truly want to do everything that we can to have victory, we got to put on the armor of God. He says in verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And God says, hey, I want you to take the armor of God. I want you to furnish yourselves and equip yourselves with the armor. Hey, listen, be furnished. We must gird our loins about with truth. Hey, the Bible says that the truth is the word of God. It says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Hey, when we neglect to have the word of God in our lives, we neglect the armor of the truth, and we are vulnerable. Hey, God's word will help us and keep us from falling. I've heard this saying before: sin will keep you from this book, but this book will keep you from sin. And that's very true. Sin will keep us from this book. If we live defeated in sin, we're not going to have no desire to want to get in the Word of God. But listen, if we do get in the Word of God and we have that truth in our lives, it's going to keep us from sin. The Bible says that it'll preserve us so we can fight in the battle of sin. It says, Psalms 40 and verse 11, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Hey, listen, if we stay in God's Word, it's going to preserve us from sin. It's going to keep us from falling and keep us from giving in to the sin that we struggle with. Hey, you know what else God's Word will do? It will protect us when sin comes attacking, whenever the temptation comes and we're heavily tempted to give in to our besetting sin or to whatever sin it may be. God says if we're in God's Word every day like we ought to be as Christians, it's going to protect us from when sin comes attacking. It says in Psalms 91 verse 4, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Hey, listen, God will protect. His truth is our shield. It'll protect us from the attacks of Satan, from the attacks of our flesh, from the attacks of the world. Hey, be furnished. Have the our loins girded about with truth. Be furnished. Don't leave out the breastplate of righteousness. Hey, don't yield. We can't be yielding our members as instruments of unrighteousness. We need to, on purpose, live righteously to protect ourselves from the fiery darts of Satan. Hey, you know what? It's hard to give in to unrighteous deeds and give in to sin when we're so busy trying to live right and trying to do things that please God and do good works. If we're consuming ourselves with, okay, I want to please God, I want to do what's right, I don't want to just float through life and just kind of just go with the flow and just go to work and just kind of do whatever and not really on purpose try to do good works for the Lord. If that's kind of how we live life, just kind of floating through our life, then when sin comes attacking, we're going to give in. We're going to fall into that sin. But if we stay busy doing our best to do good works for God and to do what God's Word tells us to do and to live a righteous life that pleases God, we're going to be so busy that's going to be hard to give into that sin when it comes tempting ourselves. Hey, have the breastplate of righteousness on. We are vulnerable when we float through life and we don't try to purposely live right. Seek the righteousness of God. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Hey, seek how to live right and seek the righteousness of God and seek how we can please the Lord in everything that we do. And you know what? God will uphold us when sin comes attacking if we're doing our very best to live right. He says, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. And if we're living right and doing our best to live for the Lord, when sin comes attacking, God's going to uphold us and He's going to help us and keep us from falling into that sin and giving into that sin. Hey, be furnished. Have on the breastplate of righteousness. But also, don't forget about the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Hey, that word preparation means the act or operation of preparing or fitting for a particular purpose. So if we're preparing ourselves to give the gospel, that means we're ready to give an answer always to every man that asketh us a reason of the hope that is in us. Hey, do you have that mindset of, hey, everywhere I go, I got to give out gospel tracts. Everywhere I go, I got to tell somebody about Christ. Hey, when you're at the gas station and you're pumping gas, does a thought ever cross your mind that, hey, that person that's pumping gas right next to me, they probably need a gospel tract because you know what? They do have a soul, and you know what? That soul, if they're lost, they're headed for hell. And the only thing that will change that is the truth of the gospel. So you know what? Let me give them a gospel tract before I leave. Does that thought ever cross your mind? It's got to cross our minds. It's got to be a mindset that we have. And listen, if we're so focused on giving the gospel and on telling folks about Christ, and we then it's gonna motivate us to live a righteous life. That way, God will use us to see people saved, and that way, God will use us to do a work for Him. Hey, you know what? If we're focused on telling folks about Christ, and we're focused on when we're at Walmart giving a gospel tract to the cashier, and when we're at our favorite restaurant giving a gospel tract to the waiter, and everywhere we go giving out gospel tracts to everybody that we can, and talking to our coworkers on break and inviting them to church and saying, hey, let me talk to you about the gospel. Hey, do you know you're going to heaven one day? Let me share the gospel with you. Can I meet with you someday and tell you about how you can go to heaven? I want to show you. And if we're focused on that, then you know what? It's gonna motivate us to do our best to stay away from sin. Because Paul said this, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. He's saying, we read that earlier. Paul's doing his very best to stay from sin. Why? Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. Paul says, hey, I want to keep preaching the gospel to others. I don't want to fall into sin and lose the opportunity to continue to preach the gospel or cause God's hand of blessing to not be upon me and to where he doesn't use me as I try to tell others about the gospel. Hey, if we have the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace on and we're ready to tell folks about Christ, we have that mindset of, hey, I always got to be telling someone about Christ. I always got to be giving out a tract. There's always somebody every single day. People don't just die and go to hell on Sundays. Sundays aren't the only days we should focus on trying to get people to church and so they can hear the gospel. People die and go to hell on Monday. People die and go to hell on Tuesday. People die and go to hell on Wednesday. And you know what? A gospel tract can make a difference in somebody's lives, but it won't make a difference if it's sitting in our console. It'll only make a difference if we grab it and give it to somebody. We got to be faithful to do so. And if so, it's going to motivate us to keep from sin. Because God is going to use us if we're just living a life full of sin. Hey, be furnished as we continue to furnish ourselves with God's armor, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. We must also pick up the shield of faith. And we talked about that. David had to trust God that he can deliver him from the giant. And then also we must put on the helmet of salvation and remember the fact that, hey, God saved you. The ultimate consequence of sin has been defeated. God has ultimately defeated sin. And if he can defeat sin ultimately, then God can help us defeat sin right now in our Christian life as we're trying to live for him. And if we keep that in mind and remember that, hey, I have the hope of salvation. God can help me defeat my sin. He will. It says, in 1 Thessalonians, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. And don't forget the fact that you're saved and God washed away your sins and God washed away my sins, and God can certainly give us the victory over the sins today that we struggle with. And the last piece of armor that we need to make sure we are furnished with is our weapon, the sword of the Spirit. And listen, it's the Word of God that will protect us, the truth of the Word of God, but it's also the Word of God that is our weapon, something that we can use to attack Satan. When our flesh is tempting us or Satan is tempting us, we can say, hey, it is written, the Bible says this, and I'm not going to give into this temptation because God said so. And that's what Jesus did when he was tempted. He said, hey, Satan, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And Satan, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And Jesus used his word, the word of God, to fight against the temptations that Satan was trying to throw at Jesus. And that's what we must do as well. Hey, listen, you know what? If there's a sin you struggle with, if there's a sin that has a stronghold on you, find some verses in the Bible that talk about that sin. Memorize those verses and quote them to yourself often, and that'll help you. And if there's a something that you struggle with, maybe you struggle with thinking things that you shouldn't think, having wrong thoughts. Hey, you know what? Memorize the verse that says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Memorize that verse that says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hey, memorize those verses, and whatever you struggle with, whatever sin that you battle with every day, find some verses that talk about it and quote those often and say, Lord, help me have victory over this sin. If we want to have victory over our sin, we must do what David did. One, we must have faith. Two, we must be furnished. David trusted God. He didn't to give him the victory. David grabbed what he needed to fight, and God used it. And we must trust God. We must make sure we're furnished with the armor that God has provided for us. And then thirdly, the last thing that we're going to have to do, if we want God to give us the victory over our sin, the number three, we must go fight. We might have faith and know that, okay, God, I know will deliver me. I know God can do it. And I'm praying, I'm asking God to help me put on the armor of God. That way I can do my best to avoid sin. But the thing is, at the end of the day, when sin comes attacking, if we don't put up any kind of fight against our sin and we just give in, then it's no good. We're gonna wind up falling into that sin. You know what? David wasn't there to pep everybody up and say, "Hey, God will deliver us. Come on, I have faith. Have faith as well. God will give us the victory. Hey, you know what? Let's you know, we have armor. We have what we need to fight this giant. Come on, let's do it, guys. One of y'all, come on, go. One of y'all go fight that giant. I'm not going to do it, but I know God will deliver us." That's not David's attitude. He wasn't there just to motivate someone else to go do it. He was there to do it himself if that's what was needed. And you know what? Listen, let's look at it in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Turn there. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I got to get back over there. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look at it. 1 Samuel 17, verse number 48. We read this already, but we'll look at it again. You know, David, he didn't just say, "Hey, Saul, come on, Saul, send somebody out there. God will deliver us. Come on, just find somebody that's willing to do it. Find someone who's crazy enough to do it." David had faith. He knew God could give Israel the victory, and he knew that that he had what he needed. If he were to fight, or if someone else were to fight, they would have the armor they needed in order to fight. But David was also willing to fight. He wasn't just going to say, "Hey, someone else do it, and I'll watch." David was like, "No, I'll go fight." And when it comes to our sin, we're going to have to fight. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 48. "And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David." So David has talked the talk. He said, "Hey, I know God will deliver us. I know that we can have the victory." He's talked the talk. But now it's time to walk the walk. The Goliath is standing there in front of him, this big old 10-foot giant. And they're ready to fight. And David doesn't run away, but the Bible says David runs to Goliath. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with his sling. Why did he prevail? Well, one, he had faith. David knew that God would deliver them. And he was furnished. He had what he needed to fight the battle. But also, he went and fought. He didn't just talk the talk. But he said, "You know what? When it's time to actually fight, I'm going to fight." And that's what he did. And God used it. And God did a mighty work through David. He used that stone to sink into the forehead of Goliath. And he used David to grab Goliath's sword and cut his head off and to kill that giant. And God will use us to have victory over our sin and not live in defeat over our sin, but to have the victory. But we have to fight. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Hey, God says you have to fight. Fight. Don't give in. When the sin comes, say no. When the sin comes, say, "I'm not going to give in." When the sin comes, says, Satan, "Get thee behind me, Satan. I'm going to do my best to live for God and to be obedient. I'm not going to give in to that sin." Hey, listen, the Christian life is truly a war. It's a real battle against sin, a fight. It's not a game we play. It's a real battlefield that we're in, and we must fight. David didn't come to play with Goliath. He came to kill Goliath through God's help. And you know, we may believe God will help us. We may pray on the armor of God. But when we are tempted to sin and we so easily give in instead of putting up a fight, that's not going to do us any good. Hey, listen, fights are uncomfortable. It's not a comfortable thing to fight. Whenever sin comes and our flesh is tempted, it's the comfortable thing is to just, "Oh, I'm just going to give in. My flesh wants to do it so bad, so I'm just going to do it. It's going to make me feel better. If I blow up at this guy and become angry at this man and you know, blow up in his face, I'm just going to feel so much better. I'm just going to give in." It's uncomfortable to tell our flesh, "No, that's not what I'm going to do." It's uncomfortable to tell our flesh, "No, I'm not going to give in." Hey, to fight is inconvenient. It's not very convenient to fight against the strong desires our flesh has, or the strong temptation that Satan throws our way to try to get us to commit sin. Hey, sin is real. And it wants to kill us. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin wants to kill us. Sin is trying to kill us. So why do we let it do so without putting up a fight? Hey, God will fight for us. He will give us the victory, but He's not going to do it if we're just going to lay down and give in. We have to be willing to fight. We have to be willing to fight against that sin. God will battle with us, and He will fight for us. But He will fight for us as long as we're willing to go and fight ourselves as we trust God to give us the victory. Hey, fight against looking at the wrong thing online or on television. Fight against listening to wrong music if that's your struggle. Hey, fight against gossiping. When others want to gossip and you have that strong temptation, say, no, I'm not going to gossip. And fight against that. Fight against being lazy. Fight against lusting. Fight against anger. Fight against being jealous over other people and what they get to do or have or whatever. Hey, fight against being selfish and saying, no, I want it my way. I want it to be this way. If it doesn't go just how I want it, then it's just not going to go well for anybody, because I want it to be my way. Fight against selfishness. Don't fight against being uncontent and say, man, I just don't like how life is going right now. I'm just not content with my circumstances. Hey, fight against that uncontentment and say, Lord, help me to be content. Hey, fight against frustration. Hey, you know what? The ugly, scary giant of sin is alive and well. And we must be willing and ready to battle it daily. But don't do it alone. David would have been slaughtered beyond recognition if he faced his battle without God. Hey, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We can have victory over our sin. If we want that victory, first off, we're going to have to trust in God. We have to have faith that God will give us that victory. We're also going to have to be furnished. We're going to have to make sure we have the armor of God and put it on. Piece by piece, and ask God, Lord, help me to have Your armor, and that way I can fight against sin and be protected against sin. And then also we're gonna have to actually fight whenever the temptation is real. We're alone. There's no one else. There's not a preacher there to preach against our sin. There's not a friend there to encourage us to not commit the sin. It's just us. The devil and God, and at that point, we're going to have to decide, I'm going to fight. I'm going to say no to my flesh. I'm going to say no to this sin that doth so easily beset me. Hey, we're not going to win every single battle. There's going to be battles. There's going to be times when we don't have faith like we should, and we don't trust God, and we try to do it on our own. Or there's going to be times when we're not properly furnished. We don't have the armor of God on like we should. Or there's going to be times when we don't fight, and we just give in. But you know what? Let's do our best to work constantly at having faith that God will deliver us from our sins. Let's do our best to be furnished, to have on His armor. Let's do our best to go and to fight when the temptation comes. And you know what? If we do so, we might not win every single battle, but you know what? We're going to have a winning record. And you know what? It's better to have a winning record than a losing record. It's better that, man, I lose more battles than I win. But if we do our best to fight against sin, God will help us. We can have more battles that we win than we lose. And we can be like Paul at the end of his life, where he said he fought a good fight and he kept the faith. Let's ask God to help us. Let's come and say, Lord, I struggle with this sin here. Or Lord, I struggle with this sin there. And Lord, would You help me to fight against this sin and to have the victory, just like You gave David victory over Goliath. Lord, would You give me the victory? And God will help us if we ask Him to. So let's come and ask God to help us tonight.